to season 2 of the Excel podcast. Join your host, Kevin Selwood, as he talks to a variety of people with useful and interesting things to say about all things to do with instructing and driver training. Throughout the series, there will be a mixture of local personalities in the driver training industry in Exeter and Torbay areas, as well as nationally acclaimed trainers. Episodes include informative discussions regarding all aspects of running your business, as well as opportunities to find out a bit more about each interviewee. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Excel podcast. And today I'm going to be delving into the realms of advanced driving. And I'm very pleased to have with me today two members of the committee of the Exeter and East Devon Advanced Drivers and Riders Group. I think it is drivers and riders rather than riders and drivers, but it doesn't really matter, I suppose. And I have the membership secretary, Ian Pruce, and Joe Gifford. Now, Ian was my trainer when I first started doing this 3.5 years ago. And somehow he managed to get me up to a standard where I passed at gold level. And I'm quite pleased to be doing this now, because it's only 5 days since I did my retest, 3 months later than I should have done, and thankfully managed to get another gold. So I thought I'd get that in first. What I want to start off with is just ask both of you just how you got into the Advanced Drivers Group, and a little bit of the potted history from that point of view. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first if you like.
Okay.
Go, Ian. It really started when I turned 50 and I went back to...
Last year, you mean?
That's right, yeah. I turned 50 and I went back to riding bikes, and there were two conditions for me to get a bike. One was that I would do advanced riding lessons, and secondly, that I'd have the bike and Mary'd have the car. So that's where I started back in Bristol 23 years ago, riding bikes, and then tutoring. That's with the IAM, tutoring with them, went with the ROSPA and worked my way up. And then when we moved to to Exeter, decided to do the cars as well. So, and I've stuck with that now. That's 13 years now, I suppose.
Right. So you were a biker first and foremost?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm an advanced tutor on bikes with ROSPA as well.
Right. Great. Joe?
Mine basically came from having children. So my world became much smaller. My roots were much more local. If I went out of the family, my other half drove, so my confidence just started dropping. I mean, when I passed my test when I was 17, I'd get in the car and drive anywhere, no map, no directions, just go for it. But suddenly with Precious Cargo, started to doubt things. As I say, I wasn't driving as much. Dad pointed out the benefits of advanced driving, and then when we moved from Bristol to Exeter as well, all the country lanes, I thought, I can't let them beat me. I need to get my confidence back up. Why not? I've stuck at it ever since, really. It's good to keep you on your toes, keep you thinking.
Yeah, great. Well, I thought, Joe, I want to pick up a little bit of what you said there. So I'll ask you first now, why advanced driving?
What, to help the confidence, do you mean?
Why would anybody, sell advanced driving to somebody?
I don't know if I could sell it to anybody, but for me, it was more about being able to go back and look at something I'd been doing for years and take a fresh look at it, to grow my confidence by understanding more about the roads and about driving and about my involvement within that. And it sounds really silly, because a lot of what you do at advanced driving when you're out with your tutor or at a club night is you state the obvious, but when you learn to drive, you learn how to maneuver a vehicle and you learn what to me now seems like basics, you know, traffic lights and some basic road markings. You get enough to get through your test that you have to do and, you know your road signs to a sort of basic degree. But you don't start to learn to drive until you're out there on the road, moving around, being independent. My driving lessons never included any nighttime driving, but it's one of the first things I did as a young adult, because I'd be going out after college, going out after work. So I'd be doing a lot of night driving suddenly with nobody there beside me, no experience. But again, you're fearless. You can do anything when you're 17, 18. Then when you get older, like I said, I'm independent. So I suddenly became very aware of my space. So for me, advanced driving just helped me relook at road markings. You know, always just thought solid white line was no overtaking. It's not, it's do not cross. And the difference, what that means. It's also about the fact that you pass your test and that's it. We don't have anything that makes you retest unless you do it as part of a job. So it was just rechecking my skills really and making me go back to basics and start again. And yeah, just go back to the beginning with knowledge. As you look at it, it's totally different then.
This bit about crossing the white lines was something that Roger threw up at me last Wednesday and said to me, the solid white lines, what do they mean? And suddenly I'm thinking, oh, crikey, I can't remember. And I asked, it's cyclists and it's horses. And anything that's going under 10 mile an hour. And then we had this discussion also about, well, what if it goes on and on and on and you're sitting behind them? And are you likely then to cause a problem or cause somebody behind you to lose patience and do something silly? So you know, we were saying that you've got to be a bit practical about it, whether you just sit there forever because they're doing 11 mile an hour or something like that. Ian, you might want to come in on that one.
On those specifics about double white lines, is most people don't understand double white lines, as Joe said about overtaking. Everything that we do in advanced driving is all about safety and essentially looking after yourself and taking care of yourself, which means that you have to take care of everybody else. So it's a shared, we're on a shared piece of road, and what we do, we have to take care. There is this problem of people who will expect you to overtake all the time. I use a thing called SLAP, and that is it safe? Yeah. Is it legal? Does it achieve something? And what's the perception of others? And sometimes not doing it, something will cause the perception of others, and then they'll do something silly and overtake you, put yourself at risk, and the person you're trying to protect in front of you, whoever that might be. But the phrase I use so many times every time I'm out is, it all depends on the situation.
We'll probably come back to some specific situations later on as well. So just go through what for somebody who assuming I get people listening to this, which I'm sure we will, somebody who's totally new to the whole idea of doing an advanced test. What does it involve, and what support is available to anybody?
Okay, I think the first thing I need to say is advanced driving is not elitist, and it's not a lot, and it's not all about pottering around the countryside at 30 miles an hour.
Oh, someone... tell me about it when you had me doing the training. Yeah.
Right. So it's, if somebody's coming to join us, what will they get? Well, first of all, they'll get a one-to-one situation. So the person who comes in will be assigned to a tutor, and they will work together for as long as it takes to get them up to test standard. And that can range from anything from 4 lessons to 24 lessons. It's all dependent on that person's ability. There's no, all we're looking to do is get them up to standard. So first of all, everyone that comes to join us has a full license. But as Joe said earlier, they probably haven't done any training since they passed. And everything that they did when they were with the driving instructor was probably forgotten within the first 10 weeks.
Thanks for that.
Sorry. But you see it on the road.
I totally agree with you.
And people change their habits. So what we're trying to do is to say, look, you know what you were taught. Let's have a look at that. And then we do not instruct, we just tutor. We just ask questions, and we'll ask questions, simple questions like, what's the speed limit here? Why are you changing gear? Why might you do this? And then it's just trying to understand their point of view, and then putting the reasons why something might be better. But we never say do this or do that, unless it's in the highway code, things like you must stop here or whatever. But it's all about, let's try this, and get them to know themselves, get them to know their cars, get them to know the highway code. And it's encouragement, really. It's one, I am not better than anybody else on the road. However, advanced driving has made me better than I was.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably as much as I can say on that.
Yeah, I'd agree, because the confidence it gives you to understand why you do the things you do, and the confidence in your vehicle. Because again, not only did I not have any other training since I passed my test, or learning to pass for my test, each time I got a new car, I was never sort of demonstrated all the features on it. In fact, I've got features on my current car only as a result of going to club nights and having discussions, and then known about a feature to go looking for it and use it. So, but by being challenged by a tutor, I found myself much more confident on the road, because I would do a running commentary to myself and be like, I'm staying in third gear because the road, changes direction. I can't see that far ahead of me. It might be national, but my car actually goes up into the 50s in third gear without too much fuss. Mm. So if I suddenly come across something, I'm in much better control of the engine because I feel safer, because I understand the limits of my car better. I know I'm a better driver than I was, just on that basis alone.
Something came into my head and it's gone straight out of it again that you said just then, but it'll come back to me. So one thing is also about this is you don't actually have to take a test, do you, at the end, if you don't want to?
No, I never went into this to do my test. Went in it purely for confidence. I just got to a point where I was a bit like, I can do it.
I know what I was going to say, because one of the real things that benefited me, I think, from our time, Ian, was that there were two things you got me to do. And one of them was to drive home from Sainsbury's Pinhoe back to Fenerton and only brake a maximum of 10 times.
Yes.
Now, I managed to do it. And I didn't cheat and go on the A30. Right. I went through Cranbrook.
Right. Yeah.
And I was annoyed with myself that when I got home and braked on the driveway, that I'd done it 8 times, because I knew one of them I didn't have to do. And I was really annoyed with myself at one of the roundabouts in Cranbrook. And another one was you challenged me to drive home without stopping.
Right.
And I managed to do that as well. But the point of it all, I know, was to get me looking further ahead and planning further ahead and just being aware of what's ahead, and also with the not stopping, what's behind you, so that you know you can sort of control your braking and slowing down in a way that doesn't cause a problem to anybody else or doesn't really pee them off as well.
That's right. There's lots of little things that we do like that, but one of the things that I get annoyed about is when I see anything that's written about older people not having good reaction times. And that's possibly true, but in actual fact, if you're really concentrating on your driving and looking where you're going and what's going on around you, you don't need to react because you've already planned for that particular thing. And that's essentially what we help people to learn. There are things that the exercise about the braking isn't about being reckless. It's about being in the right gear at the right time, having seen something ahead and just slowed down rather than brake. But I've got lots of exercises and things to do like that, which help. And it just depends on the individuals.
Yes. I certainly found that really helpful. And also I found by having done all the training and not wanting to boast about it, but I'm sure that everything that you went through and suggested, I certainly found the retest an absolute breeze, because I felt I was doing things consistently at the right level. So I wasn't having to think about, well, where should I be in the road. It was becoming a more natural thing anyway.
Absolutely, it is. It's very difficult to drive as I used to. And the only time I ever do anything now like that is if I'm training another tutor.
Right.
Because I have to do a short demonstration drive where I will change gear more often than I normally would. I might brake more often. I will have my hands off, you know, using my hands to talk with. I'll be resting on the gears. All those little things that everybody does, you know.
Yeah. So let's move on a little bit then to having got into this advanced driving mode, because the idea of this podcast, that all of them it's aimed primarily at driving instructors, choose my words carefully, there are aspects of it that ROSPA and the IAM would emphasize in a different way to the DVSA.
Yes.
And I can well remember you telling me off, well, not quite telling me off, but for driving like a driving instructor early on. And there are things that are different, and we just have to be a little bit careful sometimes, because we have to demonstrate to, when we're taking a learner somewhere to an area, you know, if they're coming from home and it's not a place where they really ought to be starting driving from, we have to drive at a level and a consistency that will demonstrate to them how they should be driving early on in their driving career. So there are various aspects of advanced driving that are at the IAM ROSPA level that are slightly different to what we need to be doing at a part two test. So I'm not talking about learner tests, I'm talking about part two.
Yeah, right.
So for instance, a roundabout. When it's safe to do so in an advanced test, do we straight line it as much as we can?
The answer to that is yes, provided it's safe, it's legal, and it achieves something, and we're not upsetting anybody. So most roundabouts do not have any markings on them. It's a single one-way road. And in a one-way road, you can be wherever you want. It's very difficult to say we can straight line roundabouts because each roundabout is different. But essentially, the highway code says look for your exit before you approach the roundabout. So it's because that will give you the right position. And then you get your right speed and the right gear for the roundabout. But it's also looking beyond the exit so that when you come off the roundabout, which way does the road go? So if the road goes off to the left, like it does at Cliff St Mary or Cliff St George, then maybe coming off in lane two or a wider exit will give you a better view around the corner. If the road goes straight on and you can see everything, then it's, you can't say this is the way you do any one activity because it all depends on the day, on the conditions, on the vehicle you're in. But it's...
Yes, I was ever so pleased with myself when we did that session about 3 or 4 weeks ago when we turned right at the Cliff St Mary and I came off in the right-hand lane right. to see round the and then I was so annoyed with myself when you took me back the other way at the fire HQ one and yeah. I didn't come off in the right-hand lane.
Yeah, I think the other thing about advanced driving is about making progress.
Yeah.
So that it, to say I'm always looking to overtake would be wrong, but I'm always looking for why I shouldn't pass the car in front. So if the car is doing 55 and then 60, I won't pass them because that means I'd have to break the speed limit, so it's not legal.
Yeah.
If I can see a hazard beyond that vehicle, then there's no point in racing past one hazard to meet another.
Yeah.
So, but I'm always looking for progress. So if I'm following a bus through town, I know it's going to stop. So yeah. I'll just sit back and I don't mind sitting three cars back. So as he comes in and he's signaling to pull in and he's slowing down to stop, I'm far enough back to, if it's all clear ahead, to just creep past the bus at 10 miles an hour, I'm making progress rather than the person who goes sits behind the car. As far as ADIs are concerned, you have to teach, you're teaching people to pass a test.
Yes.
So you have to tick boxes. We don't tick boxes. But when I'm out with ADIs, I do find some interesting aspects that I challenge. Why are you doing that? Things like sitting in traffic with the clutch depressed and the brake depressed and the whole body is tense when a handbrake on and in neutral, you get a chance to look around. And then because you're not going anywhere before the car goes ahead,
you carry on.
Just simple things like when the car pulls away from you in front of you, having the time to say one blue elephant gives you a second, because it's usually in that first second that the car that's moved away will stop and the car behind will hit it.
Yes.
So you just give that, it's, and you've lost no time because you're never going to be that close to it anyway.
So talking of the strange things you've come across, we won't name the individual involved, but you threw me in Sainsbury's when we finished last time and asked me, you got me to drive into a double one, didn't you? And I went through to the second one and you said, why did you do that? Why didn't you stop at the first one? And this other ADI who you'd been out with stopped in the first one because it was a solid white line that he said you couldn't cross. I'd never even thought about that before. I thought, I want to drive out forwards, not reverse. I want to go through to the second one. Yeah. But that was a totally new one to me.
But if you treat it as a stop line, you have to stop at a stop line. Right. So you stop at it, you check that it's safe to progress and go into the next bay. It's just, as Joe said earlier, stating the obvious sometimes.
I'm not sure I've ever treated one of those as a stop line, though.
No,
I think it's the same as whatever skill you try to learn in life. Even if you go back to just the basics you learn at school, you get to a particular level of something, you sit an exam and you go on. If what you go on to do needs further knowledge, more in-depth training, you take that on as another level, or in your job, you might do further training on something. But you personally, I always find you do better if you are interested and it's something you want, not something that's been dictated to you. So when you learn to drive, you want to be on the road and you want to be independent. So you know you have to go through this test. If you are looking to improve your driving, you have a choice. You could just work on it yourself, or you could take advantage of groups like ours and come along, take the benefit of other tutors, have the discussions, just challenge the way you look at something, exactly like your white line in the car park. Doesn't mean anybody's right or wrong. They've just made you stop and think. And I think so many of us get into a way where we've been driving, we think we're fine at it, we think we're going along, we've been very fortunate, touch wood, no accidents. Why do you need to do anything about it? There is usually some incident or something that comes up that makes you question it, and it's only at that point you might explore the avenue of advanced driving. But for me, you can transfer those skills again, just like you can with anything. You know, you get taught how to do percentages at school. I work in accountancy. I can now do several different methods to get the same answer, but depending what information I've got. So the same is with driving. Just because I'm more aware and I've had more exposure and I think about things from other people's opinion, you know, people have challenged me, I can maybe see something else, and maybe it does mean I can drive home without unnecessarily using my brakes, therefore reducing the wear and tear on my car, being more fuel efficient, because progress isn't always, as you say, overtaking, it's just keeping moving. So it's just about adapting other skills, and that's why it's usually it's stating the obvious that trips you up, because you think, why? I know that. Why didn't I do it?
Yes, absolutely. I've just got that one thing that's cropped up that I've been interested in your opinions on. It's something that has become obvious in the part two ADI driving test, and that's the examiners. They're looking for people to basically, one of the senior examiners says, I want you to sort of imagine you're chauffeuring somebody to a business meeting, and we want you to get them there on time but without feeling they've been hurried. So they're looking for same sort of, there's nothing different here, that getting on with it and making progress. If you can use the right hand lane when you can get further down the road than the left. So, but one thing that's come up quite very recently has been their sort of expectation that on a part two test, when it's appropriate, people will use cruise control. Right. Yeah. Any thoughts on that to start with? Because I have got a particular reason for asking this question, but I'd just be interested in what you say about the idea of cruise control as a tool.
Right. Cruise control. First of all, you have to understand the difference cruise control and limit point. Limiter. When you set a cruise control, you are setting the minimum speed at which your vehicle will travel. So if you set it at 60, it won't drop below 60 until you take it off. If you have a limiter, then you can set it at 60 and the vehicle won't go above 60. So it's actually understanding those differences.
Yes.
There are lots of people who've got them and don't know how to use them.
Yes. But, like I had this afternoon with a lady I've seen for the first time. And I told her, you're going to need to use it. And she's fiddling around. Oh, I think it's down. I said, well, you go away and play with it rather than do it now.
One, you have to know how it works. So some cruise controls will disengage if you use the clutch.
Yes, like mine.
Right. Others won't. The car I've got now doesn't. So changing down or changing up doesn't affect it. You just keep going. And you need to understand that. Some cars are more responsive to it. If that cruise control has got adaptive monitoring, then you'll find that you'll come up behind somebody else and the car will slow to the speed of the car in front. But if you go to overtake, then you're not just going to go with what it's doing now because you've already lost momentum, if you like. It's a good tool when used appropriately. So I only use it usually if I'm on a long journey and it's the roads are almost empty, and I'm talking now about the motorways or dual carriageways, because it gets affected by every other vehicle. I find a speed limiter is much better, so that I know I'm not breaking the speed limit.
I know we've had the one of the examiners has suggested that people, learners, could actually use it in a 20 limit to make sure they don't go above 20. But I'm not sure that I want a learner fiddling around with that in a 20 zone with everything else that could be going on. I'd much rather they make sure they keep to the speed limit or less.
If they use the limiter in a 20 limit, that means they won't go above it.
Yeah.
If they've got cruise control, it means they won't go below it.
Yeah.
And in some 20 mile an hour areas,
20's too fast.
20's too fast.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
But I do know that the Roger, the examiner, has said he's happy for people to use absolutely any facility that the vehicle's got, as long as they know how to use it and it doesn't distract from what they're doing.
I went to talk to him about this last week because the day that I did the test, the weather was not exactly kind, shall I say, especially when we were on the M5. Cruise control in the wet.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I wouldn't use it.
No. I meant to say something to him about it on Wednesday and ask his opinion, but I decided that I don't like using it in the wet. I waded unwittingly into an argument several years ago when Ella Burnett texted me asking me about using cruise control in the wet. What I didn't know at the time was that she and her husband were on the M5 in pouring rain. Lee was driving. Ella was suggesting he shouldn't use it, and he was saying he was going to. And I wish she had told me that I was wading into an argument with them, but I did say I wouldn't be using it in the wet. But I'm a little bit annoyed that I didn't actually talk to Roger about it during the exam last week.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to use it in the wet in case you hit, water.
Standing water, that's exactly my feeling.
Yeah, and again, I've gone to using a limiter even on the motorway because there's so much traffic and there are a lot of people, because again, when I learnt to drive, if you wanted to learn on the motorway, you had to wait till you passed your test and do it as additional. There's lots of people who come on that road. And when you live in this part of the world, you can see yourself how many people are suddenly on the M5 onto the A38, A30, who are not used to driving fast roads. So you've got to be reactive, going right back to what Dad said at the start about safety. It is, if you are watching and you are looking further ahead, you will spot those people who seem to be braking a lot because suddenly they're racing up to the car in front and somehow didn't realize it was there and having to slam on the anchors. You just become far more aware of other road users and their behaviors and learn to keep back you know, 70 mile an hour is not the sort of thing you want to get caught up in a bump on. That's, you can see why multi-car accidents happen, can't you? Because they're all too close. Yep. Whereas at least if you're using a limiter, if you see something and you've reacted by just taking your foot off the accelerator, the car starts slowing again. If your reaction time is slower, the car's at least doing something in the meantime while you're thinking about it. I'm not in favour of cruise control as much anymore. I still think it has its place, but less so.
I think we're all in agreement on that. Right. I'm aware that we've taken up quite a bit of your evening already, so we'll just start to bring this to a close. But I think what we ought to do is just if you can give the benefits of actually being a member of a RoSPA Advanced Drivers Group like the Exeter and East Devon one, and what sort of things are on offer apart from just training for an advanced test if you want to do one.
Okay, well, we do. The chances that you get are, first of all, we will do sessions on night driving, which most people have never been trained on. We do overtaking masterclasses, because most people have never been taught to overtake, and they've learned from watching Lewis Hamilton or the like.
That was the highlight of my training, I think, going out to Widden Down and coming back and doing all that overtaking.
Right. So it's all that. The other thing is about being, as Joe said, it's about being challenged. If you're prepared to be challenged, then you'll find that A, you know more about something you realised, and B, you'll have a better understanding of everything afterwards. So driving becomes actually more pleasurable. I would say that was the benefit of it. We do cover other things, and Joe will give you some other things, but we've had guest speakers come to us from the traffic officers or from the guy who's the chair of the National Road Safety Committees. We have first aid. We've done various things, and they're done in an environment, as Joe said just now, you start to discuss things with other people, so it's not a teaching environment, it's a talking about it. So I didn't realize this, and then going on from there.
Sometimes just sharing your experience with somebody else, if they can offer you some insight as to how they would perceive it, might change your perspective for the future. Because we can all be guilty of thinking, well, that's what you've got to do, that's the way it go. And someone asks you a question, you think, no, I don't. A bit like going back to do straight line on a roundabout. You know you have to go around a roundabout, but you don't necessarily have to stick to the furthest left-hand side as you go around, because actually you could have more control with your vehicle, even if it's just to avoid the potholes by going straighter, you know. So all these factors become safety. It just gives you that confidence in your driving, because you have the background, you've got that, just someone else has sort of validated your thoughts as well. You're in an environment where you're all like-minded, you've all got the same interests, no one's there to be better than anybody else. It's entertaining, you can have a giggle, it's a lovely group of people, and it changes all the time, because some people just come in, they do what they want to do with the advanced driving, whether that be to just get the confidence or go for the test, and then maybe we don't see them again because that's what they wanted from the experience. Others stay, come back, retest, get involved, and there's just that freedom, come and go. You know, there's no expectation that you have to even come to the group nights if you're with a tutor. It is all down to what you want to get from it. If we as a group can help you achieve it, we're more than happy to do so, as long as it's safe and legal.
Can I just say what you would get from it, anyone who joined us? You get 2 hours, you get 2 hour sessions as many 2-hour sessions as you need to get to the standard. You get a 4-page written report at the end of every drive. You get the chance to talk to people who are other people who do the tutoring. But there is a cost, and the cost, so I put about 2 hours for a session, about 2 hours, up to 2 hours for writing a report. But the people who come, it costs them 2 hours of their time. So I'd like to see them use 2 hours of their time after that to do some practice. They need to buy the highway code if yeah. they've already got it, and Roadcraft. And on top of that, it's £12 a year.
That's pound it. A month. A pound a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's incredible value.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I was able to get to more meetings. I know I was very absent for quite a while last year, and there's going to be a couple of months this year because my stepdaughter's coming over from Australia. So I know where I'm going to be missing a couple of months in the not too distant future. But yeah, it's, as you say, it is really so beneficial. I just find doing the retest, it just sort of confirms that I'm doing things right. And I like to know I'm doing things right.
It just prevents skill fade, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, because absolutely. Yes.
You're keeping your levels up there, and it helps with that concentration. Yeah. Yeah. So it's good for your mental health, you know, keeping yourself checked. And I always, if I'm uncomfortable when I'm driving, if I've got to drive somewhere I don't know, or I'm on my own, it's really busy roads, because I still go back and forth to Bristol regularly by myself, or down to Plymouth into Cornwall, wherever it might be, I can do the running commentary while I'm talking, while I'm driving. And I know with a clear conscience that if there was an incident and I was stopped and asked a question by the police, I would be able to say the weather was, I was driving at, the hazards were, whatever it might be. And that just, for me, I find that quite calming. That gives me back control. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. I can say, you know, if it's absolutely pouring down with rain and I'm on a national road, I'm not driving at 70. I'm going to drop the speed so I can still see. Because, I mean, sometimes when it rains, you can barely see the bonnet of your car.
Yeah.
To take someone's catchphrase, it does depend, and having that running commentary helps me remember and really focus on those details to still feel in control no matter the road surface, the weather, etc.
I personally, if I could, I'd get every ADI to actually do this. And
The group, yeah.
Okie doke. Super. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.